Modern pentathlete Jo Chung was one of the stars of the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. The 26-year-old stormed to victory to become the first ever British man to win gold in the modern pentathlon. It came after fellow Brit Kate French won gold in the women's event to make it a truly historic moment, the first time a nation has won both. For Jo, that completed a mammoth journey from, in his words, messing up at Rio 2016, to having to deal with the pandemic, lockdown, and all the stresses and mental battles that came with it. But Jo is not going to let this moment pass by. It's one he wants to seize, so he can push modern pentathlon as a sport far and wide. Momentum is a powerful thing after all, and that incredible performance out in Tokyo could help pave the way for the next stars of the sport to come through. It was a real pleasure to welcome Jo onto this episode of the podcast as we touch on the journey to gold, the mental battles that came along with it, and the modern pentathlon brotherhood. Jo, a very, very warm welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today and having a little chat about what I'm sure has been a very busy time for you, but also, you know, a bit about yourself, a bit about your life in general. But how are things? Because I gather it's probably been a busy, busy time, and also with a London Fashion Week appearance pretty recently as well.
Yeah, it's been a bit quieter recently, so yeah, like the Fashion Week appearance was only a couple of nights ago now, and that was quite exciting. Like, it was one of the only things I've had on in the last week, so it's quite nice to sort of mix up that being busy and having some like nights off. So it's tending more towards the nights off now, but that's probably a good thing. After the first few weeks that I got back, I don't think I could have kept up with it all for very long.
Exactly, everyone needs a little break every now and again. Absolutely. And should we start with all things Tokyo? Because as I think we said for a couple of episodes now, a lot of us still have withdrawal symptoms from not having it on all the time. Certainly not having it on my TV screen while I'm working anyway, which is a big loss to myself. But obviously the gold medal and that whole experience, has it sunk in yet, or does it still need a little bit of time for you to process what actually happened?
I think it's beginning to sink in. Like, it's just like everything comes back and is essentially normal. Like, you've got the same friends, you like to do the same things at home. And it was sort of like what I said, when the sort of the crazy manic time calmed down, that it sort of began to sink in, because I realized I was still like the same person. I could still go to the pub with some mates or go for a run if I just fancied it. But at the same time, I know in the back of my mind, I've got a gold medal in my bottom drawer.
Not a bad thing to say, that, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you look back on the whole experience? Because, I mean, building up to it for so long, and like you say, having just a whirlwind of requests and invites that came off of the back of it. I mean, how do you look back on it all?
I think it's relief almost. Because obviously it was the lady year this time, and that sort of just made the whole like pre-competition like overthinking that much worse. Like, I went into it being obviously knowing I was in a good shape and I had a chance, but there's always these like little what ifs and doubts that sort of creep into your head. So I've watched back my laser run, the last event, a few times that was on TV, and I still get worried. Like, I still think to myself, oh, like, the Korean boy is only 8 seconds behind me. Like, he could probably catch me soon. And even though I know I've won, I still get a little bit nervous. So like, I have to remind myself that I did win that competition and that it is like my championship sometimes.
Yeah, I imagine everyone else watching that as well when it was live. you touched on the overthinking side of things, and like you say, that delay. How did you try and
I suppose, strike a balance with trying to stay focused, but maybe not letting it completely rule your life and your thoughts?
Normally, I'm pretty good sort of staying calm for a competition. Like if it's like a World Cup season, that's something we have 3-4 times a year, every year. So like that sort of become part of the routine, is just being calm and only focusing on myself, which is like the positive sort of self-thought about what I need to do, as opposed to worrying about what other people can do. And I think it's just like that added pressure of an Olympics, which is only an opportunity every 4 years, that sort of begins to add to the like the cauldron of what goes into preparing for a competition. So I think I had got like the experience of the other World Cups to sort of help keep myself a bit calm, but it was just, yeah, it was like, I don't want to have to wait another 3 years to try and do this if I mess up. Because also, like, I feel like I sort of made a mistake in Rio. I was in a similar sort of position and going into the laser on there, being in second at the start and only finished 10th. So I was thinking to myself, like, I can't let that happen again. I need to make sure I hit the targets on the shoot and try and win a medal this time.
Which I know I had put that Rio, what happened at Rio in my notes. And did that almost, I suppose, add fuel to the fire? To not let that happen again, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I don't look back at Rio with any regrets. I don't wish it had gone differently. Like, obviously a medal would have been nice, but I just look back like, and I absolutely loved my first Olympics. It was a great experience and I learned from it. And it is something that I wanted to like sort of correct this time, but it's not been like haunting me for the last 5 years or anything like that. It's just something that has happened and I knew I needed to sort of learn from it. And it's definitely been sort of in the back of my mind. And I've been sort of trying to mentally prepare for that sort of situation again, which I think definitely paid off this time.
If we're talking about learnings, what do you think was the biggest takeaway from that experience? And I suppose building up to this current cycle?
It was definitely just sort of trying to put myself under more pressure and perform at the same time, because as I said, I'm pretty calm before most competitions, but it's just, you can't control yourself sometimes. And I didn't know how I'd react to an Olympics, whereas this time I had the prior knowledge of what my mind would do going into it. So yeah, it was just about sort of staying calm under pressure and handling it better. I had a similar experience this time where I think one of my shots didn't register in the shooting in Tokyo. And the same thing happened last time in Rio. And that's kind of what set off like the bad shooting and the misses. Whereas this time I sort of just moved on instantly. And it was like actually like quite a similar situation. And I handled both times very differently.
Mm-hmm. And not, I suppose, dwelling on that thing and letting
like,
it happen again.
It wasn't like, oh, not again, and panicking.
Just move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Some really lovely words afterwards as well about your family, and I think your granddad as well, who'd obviously passed away a couple of years ago, and how he would have loved to see that. How much have they meant to you and been there for you throughout this entire journey, I suppose?
Absolutely loads. I think ever since Rio, every time I see my grandma, she's been talking about like getting on the plane, buying her tickets for a hotel to come and watch the event. And then obviously there was the pandemic and she couldn't like come and watch like thousands of others couldn't. And so that was really upsetting. Like my whole family had been really excited, had been like part of the lottery in Japan to get the tickets. And I think they'd managed to get some, but it wasn't to be for them to come out. But like growing up as well, there's five sports and it's obviously not an easy one for parents and family to sort of support us in. But like they took me everywhere. They took me to all the competitions and the training. I love them all so much. And I really appreciate what they've done for me.
It's one of those, isn't it, where parents are so often the unsung heroes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't say it enough.
Whether it's grassroots or whatever, just taking their kids around to various different sports does the world of good. Moving on kind of to your sport or sports in your case. What does it mean to you? It's a very big question, but I suppose to you as a person.
I think it's one of those sports that is obviously not not like the most popular in the country. A lot of time people are like, oh, you went to the Olympics, like what sport do you do? And then I say modern pentathlon and I have to go through like explain what the five sports were. I get a lot of, oh, that's triathlon with two others, right? So it's got cycling in it. And like, so it's just not like the most, it's not the most well-known sport. And when I think of that, I think like one of the things I'd like to do sort of with the gold medal is to just try and like raise awareness of the sport. Kind of like, obviously I can't hope to emulate Tom Daley, but I think that like diving was relatively unknown before Tom Daley, when he was 14 in Beijing, came and sort of brought it onto the scene. And it would be nice to try and do that a little bit for pentathlon, because I think it's such a cool sport and it's so like diverse, because you've got five events and no one's good at all five. So it like, it's so mixed that it just makes it like the most interesting sort of battle over who's going to win at the end. And I think if people sort of became aware of it, it would be a much more popular sport than it is now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the double gold that Britain got this time around, like now is as good a time as any, I suppose, to shout about how great it is.
Yeah, definitely. I'm good friends with Kate. I've been to see her a couple of times and it's nice to have like shared the experience with her. But we have both said that it would be good to sort of use our platforms now to sort of encourage like kids to take up pentathlon, like get them involved at grassroots, and hopefully we can grow the sport and just build from there.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose, you know, long-time listeners from this podcast will know that I have fenced for, you know, 12, 13 years myself. And I look at what Richard Cruz did when he came fourth.
Yeah.
Last time around, the last Olympics. And our fencing club was just full of people wanting to try it after that. He might not have medaled, but he was on BBC One, which made a huge difference. And I suppose that's kind of the chance you've got yourselves now as a sport, trying to, I suppose, make the most of that opportunity, not just from yourselves shouting about it, but maybe clubs up and down the country to try and make the best use of this moment.
Yeah. So I was talking to one of the teachers at my old school who's like running the sort of pentathlon club back at Whitgift, my secondary school. And he said that like coming back to school after watching the Olympics and having heard that I'm a sort of an old boy there, they just had like 200 like year sixes and sevens just dying to get involved in the like the shooting at school and the fencing. So that's like the sort of thing that I really like to hear. So I think I'm going back there soon to do a talk. Just trying to encourage people to get involved and enjoy it.
Definitely. Is it the variety that kind of drew you into it in the first place, as well as being good, I suppose?
I think it's like quite, from what I've like speaking to other athletes, it's quite an unusual sport in the fact that like pretty much every other country is just really friendly, and there's like such a good like group of like international athletes at any age where everyone's just friends. So like you go to a competition, you're competing against your friends, and you can have fun during the competition and after it. And I think like that was like the thing that I enjoyed the most, was going to the training camps, having fun, and then flying away with the team and just seeing like the Germans, the French that I've known for however many years, and they're still doing it.
Absolutely. And there was and something else I picked up on, I think, is a video you did for Modern Pentathlon GP, just talking about the brotherhood within the team. I think your WhatsApp chat is called the Brotherhood as well. With all your other teammates. Does that essentially sum up just the environment around it, whether it's within your own country's team, but also other countries as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like we've got the Brotherhood's obviously the men's squad's chat. Got another one with all of us, but yeah, like we've just got such a good group of guys, and I think it encourages like sort of the right culture, the right attitude towards training. Like I'm like one of the older ones now, which sounds really weird to say, but like it's sort of just setting the example, like how we've done it. We just learned what nutrition is, what healthy eating is, and when you come to uni, like a lot of guys have just been cooked for by their parents, so sort of see what we're eating and sort of learn from there. And then when they're 4 or 5 years old, it will be their turn to sort of pass it on to the next generation. So, and then, as you said, yeah, it's obviously not quite that level of like closeness internationally, but if you have, I don't know, forgotten some equipment for the fencing, you can just go and ask someone, one of your friends that you know, to borrow their epee. And if someone was doing everything they absolutely could to try and win a gold, then they'd probably just be like, no, like, it's your problem, not mine. But everyone's so happy to sort of help each other out and like give advice or anything. And it's just a really cool thing to be part of.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the things I liked about the fencing circuit in this country as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's no end of weapons that you break. So very often you need to go and ask for help. Bearing in mind what we've been through as, you know, the world in the last couple of years, was that quite tough as well when, you know, you've got that close bond with people and then suddenly having no competition, not being able to see each other in the same way? Was that quite tough to kind of get to grips with?
Yeah. Like the biggest thing with the squad is when you're training, you've always got, say there's six senior guys and we're all like a similar level. So we can always push each other. If one of us is feeling like tired and not up for it on one day, like the others can sort of pull them through. And that was like the biggest thing we missed out on. Like, obviously we couldn't do the group training. So like fencing, horse riding, everything was out there, but we could train by household. So I live with Sam Curry at the time, who's one of the other senior boys. Like even if it was just a diminished squad of two, we still went training to do what we could. It was mainly running and shooting, but it was still like the same sort of like relationship there, where we could like help each other and make sure we actually got on with the training every day.
Definitely. And like I say, there's, you know, not having the competitions and things like that. And this is one of the topics that often comes up when we're obviously talking to athletes and trying to balance your life with balancing life as an athlete.
Yeah.
And almost wondering, in a position like that, when you're not getting to do what you're supposed to do, questioning why you're maybe pushing yourself to that, for that boundary, if that was a battle that you kind of had in your own head too.
Yeah, like lockdown was announced and ridiculous, like 3 or 4 days before we were due to fly out to my, I think it was the second competition of the season, but it was my first competition. So we'd heard all this like sort of politicians talk, I guess, about how they were going to try and keep the country open for as long as possible and do everything and like not to cause panic. And then, so we're getting ready, getting for like the last season before the Olympics, and everything was going really well. And then literally like 3 days, I'd literally started to think about packing, and they're like, oh yeah, no one's allowed to leave their homes for however many months it was. And that was sort of the moment that was when I struggled the most. There was definitely a 2 or 3 week period where we were still getting sent like training programs, especially for the running. And I just was like, maybe do half of it, if that at best. And I, as you said, just questioned like, why am I doing this? Why am I pushing myself so hard when there's going to be no reward, no competition for another 12 months or so? And that took a while to get my head around. And it wasn't until I sort of found the enjoyment in keeping things a lot simpler that I started to train again.
So in terms of keeping things simple, is that just kind of taking like one day at a time almost?
Yeah, that, and also like normally we're like sprinting around trying to fit five sports into every day almost. And when we were just at home and we couldn't worry about a lot of them, it was just sort of became simpler in terms of just having one run a day. Like you could only go outside to exercise once a day. So that was always running. And it, like my running, I think, has still never been as fast as it was in that lockdown, because it was the only thing I could do. And so I just really enjoyed, like, it was a slightly different challenge, and obviously not the one I was like aiming for, but it was something that I could like really get my teeth into that was a bit different and exciting. So like, I just took that as a positive and like cracked on, and it was really fun.
I think that also sums up maybe one of the takings that I took myself for it, because likewise, I got embroiled in a running challenge at work through lockdown just to keep us going. But perhaps emphasizes just how important stuff like that is to keep us going through things like that, even if you're not training for something specific, but just being able to go out for that run a day, can have I suppose do the world of good for where you're at that specific moment in time.
Yeah. So like, I think it's always good to sort of try and set yourself like something different, especially if something's feeling a bit old. So like now I've got back, I've won the Olympics, and it was a long 5 years. Like, I'm not going to lie, that last year wasn't like easy to like keep going for at all. So I think just to mix it up for the next couple of months, I'm I've sort of set myself a new challenge of trying to qualify for some just Epee World Cups on their own. Like, obviously, it's a part of pentathlon, but it's very different fencing every person to one hit and then fencing to 15. So it's a slightly different challenge. And I've entered like some British ranking competitions, and hopefully I'll be able to get, I think it's the top 10 in the country. So, and if I can do that, I'll be eligible to go to some World Cups, and it will just be really cool to sort of test myself on against like the best in the world and see like what the difference in ability is.
Is that almost kind of where you're at now, is looking for the new chapter or the next chapter, trying a few new things?
Yeah, I think this like 6 months up to a year, it will be just something slightly different. Like, I'm not leaving pentathlon at all. It's only 3 years and it's going to be a different format. Like, they're just changing it up quite slightly. So it's going to be, I think this year is going to be a bit of a learning curve for a lot of people. And I don't think it's like the worst thing in the world if I sort of let other people experience it and then join in once the sort of the decisions on how the point systems, how the training is going to be different. And then I can obviously focus on just the fencing and just the running if I want.
Which has preempted one of my other points on my notes.
Okay.
And that new format, so when, you know, when people tune in for Paris 2024 and they're watching modern pentathlon on the TV, then it's going to be look very different and crammed into, what, 90 minutes now?
Yeah.
Have you got an inkling of how that is going to affect training yet, or is it still kind of getting to grips with it and maybe some people won't really know how to best approach it yet until, you know, much later down the line?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is, like, the old format now, I guess, was like the 200 meter swim, which is obviously like a massive, like, as maximum effort, and then you have a load of lactic acid, but you've got about 2.5 hours of the riding to recover so that you're then ready to go hard again in the 4 800s during the running phase. But now you're going to have to do that 200 meters and then you've got like 10 to 15 minutes to recover for the, I think it's 5 600s now. So you can't do it. It's like, imagine trying to go into a triathlon, absolutely sprinting the first half of the swim and then continuously going and trying to be as quick as you were before. And it's just not going to work. So there's going to have to be like some sort of like drop of effort in the swim and the training as well to recover in that sort of time. And that's just what like no one's figured out yet. So as I said, I don't feel like I'm going to be missing out whilst people are still figuring out how to do that best.
Yeah. Is there almost, again, we're looking at like next chapters and new challenges. Does that almost present itself as a new challenge that people can really get stuck into?
Yeah, one of the reasons why I enjoy like fencing probably the most out of all of them is because it's like that sort of mental challenge. And that's kind of similar to the new format, where I think there's going to be a lot of thinking about how to maximize your points for like the least effort in terms of, for example, just becoming quicker at streamlining, without, which doesn't necessarily take up as much effort as swimming on the surface. So if you do that, you can save time without trying as hard. And just little things like that. I'm sure there's a lot that I haven't even like begun to think about, but I'll enjoy that sort of mental challenge of working out where I can like maximize my points.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it will all fall into place once, you know, people get to grips with it.
Yeah.
And you touched on it earlier about, you know, wanting to get more people into the sport and kind of shout about how great it is and promote it.
Yeah.
Obviously a big thing for us on this podcast, we wouldn't be doing a sports podcast if we didn't like sport ultimately. So it is something that's really close to our heart about just how important it can be for people. And I suppose as a source of escapism at the same time.
Yeah.
For your perspective, how important is sport for people and what benefits can it bring, you know, regardless of what level you're at?
I think one of the key things is it just, when you're doing it, it can really help take your mind off anything else. And like, it's just really easy whilst you're out on a run in the middle of like a field or something, just to be in the moment, looking around at nature or anything. And the being in the moment's the most important part, I think, of you just doing something different and enjoying it and taking your mind off whatever worries you might have outside of it. And it's so easy to do. I think it's quite accessible, especially things like swimming, running. There's a lot of places you can go and do it. And it's just for enjoyment at the end of the day. I think that's the most important thing, is you've got to have some time in your life where you let yourself enjoy something. And if it's good for you at the same time, it's a bonus.
Yeah, like I say, going going running and going back to the fencing club after lockdown, world of good. And like you say, being in the moment, I think we as a society probably find it quite difficult to actually do that in our day-to-day lives, because everyone's always focusing on the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, rather than just enjoying the here and now. And sport is actually really, really good for that. Like I say, kind of the last couple of years, I think, has reinforced just how important it is. But is there anything else we can do more as a society, I suppose, to try and get people as active as possible and reinforce that, and maybe not let lockdown and what happened then pass us by in the same way as an opportunity to get people out and about, I suppose?
I think that's the first time I've been asked this question. I guess it's just sort of like if you're connecting with a group, just encourage people like your friends to keep up if they've started running, to keep it up. One of the best bits about running is that it's like a social thing. You can talk whilst you do it, and just like if you fancy it, see if one of your mates fancies coming with you, because it's twice as fun when there's two of you.
And also, I'll throw in something that Iona Lake, who was on this podcast a couple of months back, mentioned, that running point, and that there's a study, I think, that if you open up more if you're running with someone because you're not looking at them, and you're just letting it all out, kind of thing. So something for people to take on board anyway. Yeah. Another big question for you: where do you see yourself now, sort of in life, and what you want to do, say, 5 years in the future? If you've thought that far ahead, or if you've kind of got an overall plan for what you want to do?
I think Paris will be my last Olympics. Obviously, that's 3 years, so I've got to think of the next two after that. I'm not sure. Like, I did a maths degree. It would be very easy to sort of just, I guess, fall into a, I guess you'd call it a city job, just like classically. But at the same time, I'm not sure I want to go down that route. So it's going to massively depend on what comes up. As much as I enjoyed the Fashion Week, I'm not sure a career in fashion's the one for me. But it will be. It's just like whatever comes up. I've never been one to like plan ahead too much. I love sport, and I think it will be always part of my life. So I'm sure there'll be something to do with sport in the future, whether it's data analytics or something like that is a potential. But I honestly couldn't say after Paris.
Data analytics is a whole different world, isn't it? Speaking of someone who bombed his math GCSE. So in the short term, then, like you say, you've kind of got time to, I suppose, chill out, relatively speaking, compared to everything else that you've done. But what's kind of next for you on competing wise on the horizon? Is it very much those FA World Cups that you've got kind of at the forefront of your mind?
Yeah, like I think that's the most realistic goal I can have, like outside of pentathlon in the next 6-8 months. So I think there's something called the Elite FA Series. And they're like, they've got quite a lot of like weight towards British ranking points. So I just need to attend those and hopefully like learn a bit along the way. And then when I do finally return to pentathlon in 6-8 months, I'll just be that much better at fencing again. And that should hopefully give me another advantage doing that.
Exactly. And my final question, which I always like to throw one last big one in, such is my style. If you can look at yourself when you first started on pentathlon, again, probably going back quite a while, but looking at yourself now, what do you think is the biggest difference in you as a person?
I think just like I've always been one of those annoyingly, probably, I think when I was younger I was called cocky, and now it's probably more confident, but I've always believed in myself. And it's just those sort of quiet moments where I might have done really well at a competition when I was younger, and then you come back and you're like, what if I can never sort of repeat that? And I guess now it's like I don't have that doubt as much. I'm a lot more sort of confident, even like on my own when I'm not on the stage sort of competing. So it's just that. And like if I often get asked like, what would I say to my younger self? And it's just that. It's just like, stay confident in yourself. Like you've sort of proved it time and time again. And even if you're thinking, will you be able to do it again? Like, there's no reason why you won't, because you've done it hundreds of times already.
Exactly. Well said. And I always find it weird. It seems to be something ingrained in our culture that kind of makes you feel guilty for being confident.
Yeah.
Like you say, the cocky word kind of has negative connotations, doesn't it? Thank you so much, Joe, for coming on to the show. There's some really important topics raised up there. Likewise, the importance of, you know, spreading the message about your sport, but also just how important sport, regardless of what it is, can be for people. And I think, as we've touched on, many, many people probably learnt that over the last couple of years, whether they were dabbling in it for the first time, because certainly speaking for myself, it was the perfect source of escapism, particularly when you work in news and there's just literally coronavirus headlines all day, every day.
Yeah.
But good luck chasing those FA World Cups as well and those rankings. I'm sure it'll come along, and likewise look forward to seeing what you do next once you've had a little bit of a rest. So thank you so much.
Awesome, man. Thank you for having me.
A huge thank you again to Joe for joining us on this episode, and we wish him all the very best going forward. I think we're pretty certain there's far more to come, and if anyone is going to be able to promote modern pentathlon in all new ways, then it is definitely going to be him. He really is a very, very driven individual. That is it from us this week, listeners. As ever, please spread the word of the podcast to others. It's how we grow, after all, and do follow us on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and we're on Instagram. All of our handles are at SportSpielPod. With that, it is a goodbye from me. Enjoy yourselves, everybody, and you'll be hearing from us very, very soon.